Blog Talk Radio.
Can you shout it out one more time? I'm expecting great things.
Great things. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. Great things.
That's real simple right there. Can you help me declare it over your life?
Say, I'm expecting great things.
In my
don't you release a shout right there?
Yes, hallelujah, if you believe it. Why don't you give us a shout right there? If you are expecting God to do some great things in spite of your situation, why don't you give God a shout right there? Let your faith touch heaven and tell God, I am expecting some great things. See, it's according to our faith, be it unto us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining in to another broadcast with Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are so blessed so that we may be a blessing to others. I want to encourage you in the Lord. Let no good thing be withheld from you because you choose to walk upright. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I want to just tell you that God has need of you. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited once again to be here to be able to talk about the goodness of God, to talk about the preparation that God is expecting for us to walk in. Amen. Amen. Get ready. Get prepared. Be ready. You know, the Bible says to be ready. So we don't know what's going to happen, but all we know is we should be ready. Amen. 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 We're going to talk about the armor. You know, I know a lot of times we talk about the armor, but I want to dissect it and I want to break it down and I want to make it plain. Amen. Amen, because we need to have on our spiritual armors because things are going to happen. And I know when I say armor, some of us think about a natural armor. You think about a bulletproof vest. You think about maybe a gun, maybe a bullet, maybe a rifle, maybe, you know, machete. I don't know. But we're talking about spiritual armors today. Amen. So that we can fight off the enemy with the things that God give us to fight with. So, Father, we thank you for this hour of power. And, Lord God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would open up the minds, the hearts of your people, that you would do an upload and a downpour, that we would receive what you have called for us to do, Lord God, and that we would have a clear understanding on how you're going to move in our lives, that you would show us, Lord God, the tools to use when we have to take hold of the enemy. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, to use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Let the church say amen. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And if you would be so kind to turn to verse 10. And we're going to read verses 10 through 18. If you don't know where to find the armors, I want you to remember this scripture in Ephesians 6, the sixth chapter. So when you get off the line, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember where the armor of God is. Ephesians 6, chapter 10. I mean, verse 10 through 18. Amen. Let me begin to read. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood. I want you to remember that. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the days of evil come, because they're coming, you may be able to stand your ground. For you have done everything to stand. stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled, hallelujah, around your waist. You got to be truthful. With the breastplate of righteousness all tucked in and in place. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, hallelujah, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Send some darts out. She can send some darts out. But take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit, hallelujah, on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. You can't be slipping. And always keep on praying for all of the people of God. Let your heart say amen. Amen. We're talking about having on the whole armor, being prepared, because telling you in this world, you are going to be lied on. You are going to be talked about. You are going to be put down. You're going to be separated. The enemy used every single technique that he can use to devour the man of God or the woman of God. So don't think it's strange when people come against you. Don't think it's strange when traps are set for you. Don't think it's strange. Read the Bible, because the Bible tells us these things are going to happen. Amen. It's inevitable that it's going to come to pass. So we have to be ready. Amen. We have to be prepared. We have to be equipped. Amen. We have to be with a readiness. And as I was reading, the Bible says, stand firm. So you can't be weak and slipping and compromising. See, sometimes we compromise too much. We compromise with the enemy, and he will take, not only will he rule, but he'll take over. And before you know it, you'll be sitting in the back seat, and he'll be driving you around. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So we're talking about being able to equip oneself that when these darts are thrown, that you will have spiritual weapons. And you would know what to use against these darts. See, the Bible says, believe not every spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. See, what does that mean? That means that sometimes people will appear to be saved. Sometimes people will appear to be a believer or appear to be a preacher or a teacher or a minister. It don't necessarily have to be a prophet, anyone that's representing God. Sometimes they go and they deal falsely. And the Bible tells us that this is going to be. So we have to try the Spirit, by the Spirit, to know if it's God. So what kind of fruit is being produced? Amen. So we talk a good game, but we're not producing healthy fruit, because healthy fruit are the fruit of the Spirit. And those fruit will cause others to grow. Amen? Glory to God. So let's talk about the armors. Let's start with put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on. Put on indicate that we must take action. Put on. We have to do something. And the basic description of the armor of God is given in this verse. See, Paul, he introduced the subject of warfare. And he introduced it by emphasizing that the battle that he's talking about is not a natural battle. See, it's not a natural battle. Because if you want to fight a spiritual battle in the natural, you're going to be ineffective. So we want to be effective. So if someone keeping up mess and they're in the natural, just say it's a cousin or a friend or a enemy or whoever it is, it's a person, I can't fight them in the natural. Because if I fight in the natural, we might catch a case. I can't fight naturally. I have to fight spiritually. See, a spiritual battle is really where we actually should fight. The spiritual battle must be fought with spiritual weapons. So Paul was talking about put on the armor to be used in a spiritual battle. See, if I fight you spiritually and you're trying to fight me naturally, the Bible tell me that spiritual battles can defeat a natural battle. Amen? So listen what it says. It says, wherefore, take up on you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand or withstand in the evil days. So that let us know that evil days are coming. Amen. That let us know that we should not be all caught off guard when evil is in front of us, when what we expect of others and we don't get that type of behavior, we should not be surprised. Because the Bible tells us that these days are coming. Amen. And it says we have to still stand. Having done all, don't fall back. See, we can't fall back. We have to still stand. It's not adding soldier. Mm-mm. We have to stay at attention, and we have to stay ready. Why should we stay ready? Because if we stay ready, we got our eyes on what's going on, and then we can defeat the enemy because we are not all over the place. See, the enemy wants to confuse you. He'll lie on you. He'll talk about you. And if he gets you in the flesh, before you know it, you're fighting a fleshly battle. You know, you're fronting people off. You know, you want to go and say, I'm going to front them off. I'm going to tell them a piece of my mind. We need all of our mind. Don't give up not one piece. You keep every piece that you got because I'm telling you, the evil days are coming. And because these evil days are coming, we need to be fully alert. So the Bible says, stand before, having your loins girdled about with truth. Hey, and having the breastplate of righteousness. So I'm going to break it down. When we say put on, let's start there. Put on. Once and for all, the spiritual armor is not like a athletic uniform that you put on for a game. It's not that kind of party. You know, it's not a uniform. You put on the armor once and for all, and you leave on it for the rest of your life. You have to sharpen up your weaponry, but you put it on by faith. So you put on the armor, just like a soldier, on the battlefield. It don't mean you take it off and you put it back on. No. You will not lay it down. Your armor remain in place until the Lord's coming. Until he come back to get us. So we have to be equipped with the whole armor of God. So if you do not have your armor on, you're vulnerable to the enemy. See, it's a wise thing to check often that each piece of our spiritual armor is still in place. Let's go with the first division of the armor. The first division of the armor, I'm going to speak about three things that you can put, that you have put, have done in the past. So having put indicate something that you've already done if you're a believer. Listen to what it says. Having your loins girdled about with truth. Having the breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those are things, listen, we have to be girdled up with truth. We can't be liars. The Bible says that a liar won't tarry in his eyesight. So we have to live the truth, be honest. And then once we start being deceptive and lying, then you realize that you're letting the enemy get a stronghold in your camp, in the territory. So if you're walking in truth, you're girdled up with truth, the enemy can't come nigh thee. If you have on the breastplate of righteousness, you have on your feet the shine with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the first division. And then let's say the second division include things which we put on in the present. So I talked about having putting on things already, but then when we put on things in the present, is taking the shield of faith, taking the helmet of salvation, taking the sword of the Spirit. See, Paul was making emphasis about the whole armor, and some of us are preoccupied with but one piece of God's armor, and we think that we neglect to apply the others. So we must have on the whole armor, or we'll find ourselves being attacked and defeated. Amen. So I want you to remember that the belt, let's talk about the belt, the first piece of the armor is to buckle on or the girdle or the belt of truth. See, in the natural world, a suit of armor was attached to the belt. You know, so your belt holds it in place. It'll hold on the other pieces in the armor and have it in place. The truth of the Word of God is the spiritual, the spiritual truth. We're going to take a short music break, and then I'll be right back. Amen. Stay with me, please.
Bye.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Amen. Glory. I believe that it's already done. Hallelujah. I believe that it's already done. All we have to do is follow God's laws. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's continue on without further ado. Excuse for the interruption. I just want to, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So we're here with the belt. The truth of God's word is our spiritual belt to which all other pieces are attached to. So Satan will first attack a man on truth. Let me give you an example. And the woman said to the serpent, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, and neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Listen to that. Now, God has said one thing, and here comes the serpent saying that God was saying something else. So he'll attack us with a lie. So he used people to fabricate the truth, to make things appear to be more than what it is, to make sure that we fall into a trap, and now we're not operating in the spirit of truth. So the truth protects us. The truth will protect us from lies and doctrinal errors of the enemy. See, the truth is the undergirdling spiritual armor. So you have to have your loins girdled up. You know, the spiritual vital organs of the truth. That's like an organ. We have to walk in truth. And when you walk in untruth, then you literally... it's like going to bed with your door wide open. The enemy can come in as he please. Amen. So you, when as Christians, at all costs, we should always be truthful. Because when you start telling untruths, Satan starts maneuvering through your life. So the truth protects us. Remember that. The truth. So the Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girdled about with truth. So what do people say when they see? What are they saying? You know, you see some people and you might say they're always telling lies and they call themselves a Christian. So you understand, what are people saying when they hear your name? So we have to be truthful. We have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So the Bible says, stand therefore with your loins girded about with truth. Ephesians 6 and 14. Now, what is the truth? Let's talk about that. See, Jesus said, I am the truth. He talked about he is the truth. That's in John 14, verse 6. And then the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. That's in John 14, 17. And then God is truth. Romans 3 and 4, I'm giving you scriptures. What is the truth? The God's word is truth. That's Psalms 119 and verse 151. Then listen, the gospel is truth. Colossians 1 and 5. So what is the truth? Jesus said he's the truth. He said the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. He said, God is the truth, the word of God is truth, and the gospel is truth. So we say we want to be like God. We say we want to be like Jesus. We have to walk in truth. That is the first armor that the enemy will attack. And I was reading in Genesis when he was talking to, when serpent was talking to the woman. And he was God, he was lying. God shall not, you should not eat of this tree. You won't die. And so he was trying to manipulate. So we have to, if we can't tell the truth, then don't say anything. Because you leave a loophole for the enemy to come in. So Jesus said, I'm the truth. He said, and you shall know the truth. And the truth, what, shall set you free. So if the truth gonna set you free, unless you want to stay in bondage. See, sometimes people rather believe a lie rather than the truth. And that's what the Bible tells us. So why? Because maybe sometimes it's easier to go with a lie. Because sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth people don't want to hear, you know, because sometimes truth brings out change. Truth will birth change. Amen. Let's talk about the breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. See, in this natural world, the breastplate will cover, you know how you see police officers and people that work in law enforcement, they have the upper body bulletproof vest over the breastplate. But this upper body of protection in spiritual warfare, it protects our vital organs. Listen, breastplate of righteousness, our organs such as our heart and lungs. See, the spiritual breastplate of righteousness, it does not refer to your righteousness, but to the covering of the righteousness of Christ. See, the Bible says there is none righteous. So it's his righteousness that we stand in. So the enemy will try to make you feel like, well, you know, you done messed up, and who are you? You know, we didn't know your whole history, and you made some mistakes, and so they want to take the righteousness or the right way of thinking about a person, but we stand in the covering of Christ's righteousness. Let me tell you what he said about it in Philippians. In Philippians, the third chapter, 9th verse, here we go. He said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. See, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we don't have to worry about it. If we slip up and mess up, we still can stand in the covering of the righteousness of Christ. See, the enemy wants you to feel condemned, and then he wants you to feel not confident in what you believe in, because we cannot make it on our own righteousness. It's imperative that we understand that. You do not stand on your own merits. You can't. You stand in Christ. See, you cannot face the enemy without the protection of the righteousness of Christ. Listen what the word says. The word says, by the truth of the word, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I want you to get an understanding. 2 Corinthians 6 and 7. By the word of truth. By the truth of the word. By the power of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left hand. And on the left. See, the righteousness of Christ. Let's talk about what does it protect. The righteousness of Christ, it protects our spiritual, vital organs from attacks of Satan and from unrighteousness. So the breastplate of righteousness must be buckled to and connected to the belt of truth. So now we are walking in truth of the word of God because we're walking in the truth that Jesus said, I'm the truth. We're walking in the truth that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. So we're walking in truth. So we connect it to the breastplate. And the breastplate of righteousness, when it's buckled to the belt of truth, listen, we're well protected in that area. So we're walking in Christ's righteousness, and we're standing in his truth. So the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord, somebody. Come on, somebody say, the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. So, and then here we go. Let's go to the shoes. There are many types of shoes for different purposes. You know, some are for walking. Others for specific sport activities. You know, you can get shoes that's made for football. Amen. You can get shoes that's for basketball. You can get shoes that's for skating. So there's different kind of shoes that we can have, but we're talking about shoes that are for our feet to shine for the gospel of peace, I'm telling you. There are soldier shoes. They're another kind of shoes. These are shoes that's designed for warfare. You know how a soldier who cannot advance on the battlefield is disabled in warfare. So if you don't have the right shoes and you're doing warfare in the natural, you're going to lose out. You know, they have on boots, and they have on protected boots. They're not flimsy boots. They're boots that are going to be durable, going to be comfortable to a degree, and that's going to last. So let's go with our feet being shined with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that indicate? It indicates a readiness to advance in the spiritual realm, the gospel of peace. See, these spiritual shoes, they protect us. They protect your will from the temptation of the enemy. And when the enemy comes to tempt us, it will lead us in the wrong path. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Why? Because your shoes are shined with the preparation of the gospel. See, that indicates that your willingness to do every good work and to spread the gospel to all nations. So those spiritual shoes will enable us to stand against the enemy, as Paul encouraged us to do so. So if our feet are shined with the gospel of peace, hallelujah. So when enemy come to disturb our peace, guess what? We're battlefield ready. I mean, I always say this. Jesus was so cool. He was not moved by Satan's devices. He didn't have to go ask nobody. He didn't need no advice, hallelujah, because his feet were shined with the gospel. We have to study the word, and the word of God will give you peace. So when you're able to walk in God's peace, and when the wind start blowing and people start lying, and even when things are stolen from you, you already know that it's already done. Because you already know that you can connect some dots together through faith, and God's going to make it happen. But sometimes you can get yourself around people that may not be shine with the preparation of peace, and your peace will be disturbed. You may not know what decisions to make, and you go down the wrong path. So I want to tell you, your willingness to do every good work and to spread the gospel to all nations, that's when you know that these shoes have enabled you to stand against the enemy, because you're not afraid, because you have a message. You have a gospel of peace within you. Now, let's briefly talk about the shield. So in the natural world, a shield, it's used to provide protection to a warrior. And the shield can protect what? The entire body. You can move it to the left, to the right. You can put it behind you. You can put it in front of you. But the shield, when they would fight in battles, they had just pushed the shield up. And when you put the shield up, it will cause the enemy to miss his target because he'll hit that shield. Amen? But your spiritual shield is what I want to make reference to. And guess what? It's called the shield of faith. See, your faith is a shield. Your faith is protection. Your faith can please God. Your faith can move mountains. Your faith can cause manifestation. Your faith is a way to please God, somebody. Come on. Did you not know that you can have a little faith, you can have much faith, and you can have more faith? So where are you in the realm of your faith? You know, are you already, are you always worried? Are you always disturbed? Please cut the water off. Thank you. Hallelujah. And so we're talking about our faith. Our faith, there's several types of faith mentioned in the Bible. Let me talk about them. There is a saving faith, the gift of faith. And then we have the spiritual fruit of faith. But the word faith, when used in relationship to the shield of faith, we're speaking of defensive faith. See, this faith is a firm truth. It's a confidence in God which protect your whole being. Because you understand, you know, Lord, I know that you're with me, and I know that you protect me from any flaming missiles or any darts. We can't walk in doubt or unbelief, because if we do that, the enemy loves to see fear. He loves to see unbelief. He loves to see doubt. So anytime you're trying to make a decision and you're indecisive, you don't know, well, should we do this or should we do that or should we go here? Listen, God want us to be so connected to him that when we have to make decisions, we automatically hear his voice. And a stranger we won't follow. And once we hear his voice, now we can connect our faith with whatever he told us to do. See, we're not our own. The shield of faith is a constant application of God's word to the issues of life. Let me say that again. The shield of faith is a constant application of God's word to the issues of life. We use our faith and we apply the word of God to the issue of life. See, it is a faith that enables us to overcome the evil forces of the world. It's a faith that keeps us from being stuck. It's a faith that we understand that all things are possible to them that believe. Let the faith please God. Let your faith move some mountains. You know, don't be so doubtful. Say, well, I don't know how we're going to do that. Well, that don't meet our budget. I'm on a fixed income. Listen, your father owns houses and lands. He owns the whole universe. That's your daddy. So the Bible says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. You're looking crazy because you believe it. You're looking crazy because the house on fire, but you're still saying, I'm going to stay there. You look, listen, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Our faith can overcome the world. Our faith, this is the victory that overcomes the world. our faith. So combined with love of God, faith is most effective. So now you got the love of God, you have the faith, and then you got the armor on. You combine that together, it's effective. It's effective by putting on the breastplate of faith and love. I'm going to tell you, I found it in the Bible. I'm glad you asked. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 talks about putting on the breastplate of faith and love. See, it is faith that's based on truth. So we can't just believe everything. You know, people will say a bunch of stuff, and before you know it, you're starting to believe things that's not true. But it has to be based on truth. So listen what it says, and it's one of my favorite scriptures in Psalms 91:4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy buckler and shield. We're still talking about faith is based on truth. Let the faith be based on truth. We don't want to just believe every spirit. We don't want to just believe everything. Somebody tell you something, maybe they're putting a person down. Find the truth that you can give to them to set them free. They might say, well, you know she's a dancer. And then you might say, well, you know she's a tither. They might say, well, you know she wastes money. And you might say, well, you know she pays so-and-so rent. So what I'm saying is, crush the enemy with truth. Because without faith, we have no connection of truth. What do you mean? See, without faith, we cannot receive salvation. Without faith, we cannot go forth with the gospel of peace. Without faith, we cannot claim the righteousness of Christ and effectively use the word of God and effectively use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it's all of this is wrapped up in faith. We're talking about the breastplate of faith. And it's based on truth. All of this is being able to connect the dots. See, faith is not an assumption or a presumption. It is based upon God's word. So our faith is based on truth. And God, I told you earlier, that what's the truth? He said he's the truth. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, and God is the truth, and God's word is the truth, and the gospel is truth. So I'm just getting excited because I understand. I got the revelation that our faith can please God. It can move mountains. Our faith can make you whole. Man, I know my time is getting close, but I still want to touch the helmet, and I believe I have time to do the sword of the Spirit. But when we're talking about the helmet of salvation, it's not something that you put on when you say, when you got saved, you put on the helmet. No, remember that we're dealing with spiritual armor here. And it's assumed that you are a believer, and I know you are a believer, and I know that you have faith, and you're a member of God's army. But before you put on the armor, the helmet of salvation, in respects to a regenerated mind, so we have to begin to think different. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And if our mind is renewed, guess what? Our life get transformed. So if you're thinking a certain way, guess what? You're probably going to do those things that you're thinking. And then also out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we got to have on our armor. We have our shield to protect our heart. Hallelujah. Listen, we will learn that Satan desperately fights to control our mind, to control our thoughts. And he used deception. He used lies to divide. He used lies to conquer. See, if he can come against truth, he can come against unity. If he can come against unity, he can cause the commanded blessings of God not to be released. Amen. So we have to operate with the right mindset. So if you're thinking correctly, hallelujah, and you're in truth, and you're standing on righteousness, and your belt is tight, hallelujah, your pants not sagging. You know, it's tight, it's neat. Your shoes are shined, they're shined up. And what I mean shined up, with the gospel of peace, you're not all over the place. You know, because you're walking in peace. And when you walk in peace, you eventually walk in purpose. So what does that mean? That means that I just can't do what I want to do. You know, I can't just go where I want to go. Why? Because I might be invited to something that God don't want me to go to. So then I have to make a decision. I might say, well, you know, so-and-so is going to be offended. Then I have to think about, well, maybe God will be offended. Because we're not doing that. That's not for me. So I'm at a point in my life that I learned to say no. And they might say, well, why? And, you know, it depends on what day of the week it is. I might explain. And then I might just say, no, I'm just not going. And I don't really owe you an explanation because guess what? Because I got my helmet on. And my helmet keeps me thinking the thoughts of Christ, that I can hear what he wants me to hear. And I can do what he wants me to do. And I can say what he wants me to say. Amen. So it's part of being disciplined. An undisciplined mind will make the Christian get preyed on. You'll get preyed on. You'll get deceived. You'll find yourself in places that you know you shouldn't be. Why? Because there's haters there, and you can't set them free because of their unbelief. They're not going to hear you. What did Jesus do when they didn't hear him? He shook the dust. It's okay to shake the dust. You can love from afar. See, Paul, he talks about the helmet as the helmet, the hope of salvation. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it talks about salvation when properly experienced and understood, it protects your mind. So now you're not worried about what they saying, what they doing. Why? Because you got the hope of salvation on. See, salvation, when you walk in salvation, you began to seek the things of the kingdom. Your mindset is to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your flesh might say, you know what? Well, you need to go because they're going to have this and they're going to be doing that. It might be wholesome fun. But it's not for you. It's not what God has for you. So the hope of salvation refers to salvation in the future tense. See, it is final salvation when the presence of sin, from the presence of sin, when Jesus returns. Let me say that again. It is final salvation from the presence of sin when Jesus returns. So the hope of this future salvation, it strengthens our mind. It strengthens your mind against the attack of Satan. So we have to have confidence and hope in the future because God is working out his purpose. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. So according to his good pleasures, which he has purposed in himself, this is the dispensation of time, of the fullness of time, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So according to his good pleasure, he has purposed in himself. Let me do the last piece of armor. Hallelujah. We're talking about the sword of the Spirit. See, the sword of the Spirit, we all know, is the word of God. you can use the Word of God defensively and offensively. So you already know that Jesus used the word in defense. He played both offense and defense. And that's how we have to be well-rounded. So we have to study so we can rightfully divide the Word of God. You study to show yourself approved and always be able to stand corrected. Amen. Because that helps you stand in truth. Amen. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you understand that you are fully equipped. You're fully qualified because here you go with standing in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. You're standing in his truth. Amen. Come on, somebody. Your loins is girdled with truth. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel. You're walking in peace. And then you take the shield of faith. Take it. You got to work it. Take the helmet of salvation and take on the word of God. And I'm going to tell you, you can fight. You can fight and you can win. Amen. So the last scripture I have for you is Ephesians 6 and 18. I have fully described a Christian soldier armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereof with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So this is God's battle plan. And when we learn how to use it, leads us to prayer and fasting because they're powerful weapons. And these two weapons can be used offensively and defensively also. But as you summarize putting on the whole armor of God, you know the truth is girdled. It protects us from deception. Righteousness, breastplate, protects us from unrighteousness. Shoes, the peace, it protects us from confusion. Faith is our shield, protects us from unbelief. Salvation, our helmet, protects us from bondage. So the girdle or the belt of truth, it protects us. And it leads us to righteousness. The breastplate keep you from being confused and unrighteousness. Come on, this is really getting good to me. But I want to thank everyone. And I want you to dig deep in the word so that you will not be deceived. So this deception won't lead you to unrighteousness, which is sin, which is confusion. And confusion, it will result in unbelief. And unbelief result in spiritual bondage. Amen. So whom the Son sets free, be free, my people. Be free, God's people. Be free. Don't be caught up. Don't be caught up in tangled in confusion. You know, pick your battles. You know, sometimes we jump in battles that we have no business whatsoever being in. So I want to encourage everyone. I am just so very excited about our end of the year conference. We're talking about prophetic prayer to move mountains. We're going to have our dinner theater, an awesome prophetic play with a delightful dinner and good fellowship, good people. And I'm just excited because we're doing impartations. We're doing activations. Glory to God. So I want to encourage everyone, save the date, December 30th and the 31st. We are going into the new year with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, with the whole armor of God. So I want to encourage you to save the date. It's going to be a one-time event, and you don't want to miss it. Amen. And I just say glory to God to everyone. I just want to send blessings to your home, to your heart, and to everything that concerns you from Elder and I. We want you to know that we love you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. We care, and we pray for you daily. We want you to plan to be with us on the end of the year to bring it in. Awesome. Boom. Amen. So with that being said, If you like what we're doing, want to encourage you to sow into the ministry, you will be able to go to Eventbrite to do your registration starting next week. You can register for the conference. You can start, we will be at the hotel. So those two nights, if you plan to stay at the hotel with us, we're going to have breakfast. We're going to have lunch. So everything will be provided. You won't have to leave back out. It's going to be an awesome time, and it's overdue. It's past due. But again, delight yourself in the Lord. Amen. And he will give you the desires of your heart. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to another broadcast. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. You can listen to all the broadcasts, and I want to encourage you to don't forget to save the date. Amen, amen. God bless everyone. Let that super be on your natural. And just say to yourself, there's nothing like the Lord, King Jesus. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a blessed supernatural rest of your day.
Make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.